Okay, also, just so you know, I'm not gonna make a turkey this year.
What?
Well, Phoebe doesn't eat turkey.
Phoebe?
Turkeys are beautiful, intelligent animals.
No, they're not. They're ugly and stupid and delicious.
All right, okay, so it's not just Phoebe. Will's still on a diet, Chandler doesn't eat Thanksgiving food, and Rachel's having her aversion to poultry.
She is?
Yeah, did you remember I had to leave the room the other day when you had that roast chicken?
Yeah, but I thought that was just because I put the whole thing on my hand and made it walk across the table.
Anyway, it just doesn't seem worth it to make a whole turkey for just three people, okay? It's just, it's a lot of work.
But you gotta have turkey on Thanksgiving. I mean, Thanksgiving with no turkey is like 4th of July with no apple pie. Or Friday with no two pizzas.
Hi, everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Hi, everyone. How about that intro? As you could probably tell, the snippet was taken from the series Friends, when Joey committed to eating a whole 19-pound turkey for Thanksgiving. This recording was taken from Season 8, Episode 9. In today's podcast, we'll be talking about the expression to quit cold turkey. We'll do some pronunciation exercises, and then we'll talk about Thanksgiving. I'll give you an idea about where it came from, what we eat, and how we celebrate this holiday today. If after you're done, you'd like to learn more about Thanksgiving in the U.S., I highly recommend checking out the Thanksgiving episodes of Friends. There's one in every season, and the screenwriters did a really good job at portraying what happens on this holiday. I'll add some details about my favorite episodes in the episode notes. To make sense of everything that's to come, let's begin by talking about turkeys. Turkeys are large birds native to North America. In Northern California, where I'm from, I see a lot of wild turkeys on a regular basis. It's actually common to see them walking down the street, sometimes in groups of five or six, and sometimes they even stop traffic, which is pretty funny. According to the National Turkey Federation, as of 2018, the average American ate 16.3 pounds of turkey per year. So that's a lot of turkey. That brings us to our joke of the day, which is, why did the turkey cross the road twice? Any ideas? To prove it wasn't chicken. In English, there are a lot of jokes talking about chickens crossing the road. And we also, in English, call someone a chicken when they're afraid of doing something. So if a friend of yours is afraid of going on a roller coaster, you can say, hey, stop being a chicken. Stop being a scaredy cat. Stop being so afraid. So the turkey, in this instance, wanted to prove that he wasn't a chicken, right? He wasn't the bird. And that he wasn't afraid of crossing the road, right? That's why he crossed twice. Let's hear that one more time. Why did the turkey cross the road twice? To prove it wasn't chicken, right? So speaking of turkeys, today we'll be working with the expression to quit cold turkey, which means to quit a bad habit or stop a bad habit, usually one that we're really addicted to, immediately. When we quit something cold turkey, we do not do it gradually. It's fast, right away. There are a few different ideas about this expression's origins. Some say that it came from the similarities between cold turkey or dead turkey and a drug addict who is going through withdrawals. They may be clammy, which means they're cold and sweaty. They may have goosebumps and they might be pale. Right? Just like cold turkey or a carcass of a turkey. They have similar characteristics. Although we most frequently say to quit something cold turkey or to quit cold turkey, you can also say to stop something cold turkey or to stop cold turkey. Sometimes people even say to go cold turkey. They all mean the same thing. It just simply means that you stopped an addictive bad habit abruptly. Let's go through some examples to make more sense of this expression. Example number one. Imagine that your significant other is addicted to cigarettes. They are so dependent on nicotine, the addictive drug inside, that they need to go to the store regularly to buy packs of cigarettes. Since cigarettes cost between $5 and $13 for a pack in the US, you try and convince them that they're throwing their money out the window. You want him or her to quit cold turkey. You want them to stop suddenly and to never have another cigarette again. However, when you suggest quitting cold turkey, they have a look of horror in their face. They respond, "You cannot quit smoking cold turkey. It has to happen gradually or never." Example number two. Imagine that you snack after every meal. Sugary sweets, popcorn, anything to accompany your Netflix time on the couch. You feel out of shape and unhealthy. One day, your ex invites you to their wedding, and you decide that you want to go, and most importantly, that you want to look great on the occasion. You know that your snacking habit is part of the reason why you feel so physically bad, and you decide to stop cold turkey. From one day to the next, you no longer eat while watching Netflix. Example number three. Last year, the week before Thanksgiving, I found out that I had gestational diabetes, which is a type of diabetes that only appears when a woman is pregnant. A woman with gestational diabetes is more likely to give birth to a large baby if her sugar and carb intake is uncontrolled. So scared out of my mind that I'd have to give birth to a 10-pound baby, I decided to quit eating sweets and carbs cold turkey. I stopped immediately. So Thanksgiving dinner was pretty miserable for me. All I could eat was the green bean casserole and, ironically, the turkey, which fortunately was not cold, right? So once again, to quit something cold turkey or to stop something cold turkey or to go cold turkey is to stop a bad habit abruptly. So let's go through some pronunciation exercises now. We'll use this sentence, did he quit cold turkey? Repeat after me, did. Did he? Did he quit? Did he quit cold turkey? Did he quit cold turkey? All right, and the conjugation, repeat after me. I quit cold turkey. You quit cold turkey. He quit cold turkey. She quit cold turkey. We quit cold turkey. They quit cold turkey. It quit cold turkey. Notice the stop T on quit. 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 Right? The airflow stops before I hit that T. Quit. Quit. Right? You can hear that break right there. You'll often run into a stop T when a word ends in T and the word that follows begins with a consonant. Sometimes you also hear them when words are on their own. Let's move on to the topic of the day. Today, I've decided to talk about Thanksgiving. This will be fairly advanced for listening comprehension. So if you are having trouble understanding, you can always access the transcript on the webpage at AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Information about that is inside the classroom, and that should help if you're interested in expanding your English vocabulary, phrases, and much more. So first, I'm going to describe the origins of Thanksgiving. Then I will talk about the food. And then lastly, we'll talk about how Americans celebrate Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday celebrated in Canada, the United States, some of the Caribbean islands, and Liberia. It began as a day of giving thanks for the blessing of the harvest and of the preceding year. Thanksgiving is celebrated on the second Monday of October in Canada and on the fourth Thursday of November in the United States. And it's celebrated around the same time of the year in other places in the world. So this year, it will fall next week on November 28th. Although Thanksgiving has historical roots in religious and cultural traditions, it has long been celebrated as a secular holiday. The history of the first Thanksgiving is somewhat incomplete. However, we do know that it originated in England and it was brought to New England and Virginia by pilgrims and Puritans. New England is that area around New York. It includes Maine, Connecticut, Vermont, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, states in that general area. So who are these pilgrims and Puritans? Pilgrims is the term we use to describe the first settlers in the U.S. Puritans, on the other hand, is a term we use for some of these pilgrims who had religious reasons for leaving England. They were Protestants or Calvinists, and they didn't like the way that the Catholic Church was affecting England, right? So both arrived in the U.S., and the holiday tradition first took place in 1621 at Plymouth in present-day Massachusetts. The first feast was celebrated to give thanks to the harvest and to, quote, the Almighty God. Abraham Lincoln made it a national holiday in the 1800s. Some believe that the reasoning it became a national holiday was to commemorate the fact that on that day, Native Americans, or specifically the Wampanoags, got along with the European settlers. Despite turmoil between these two groups, that specific day was a day when they shared food and they split their bread and they were happy. What I do find interesting, though, is that on National Geographic's website, they have another take on Thanksgiving. That short-lived peace at Thanksgiving dinner was rooted in trade agreements. The Wampanoags actually wanted to get some special knives that the Europeans had in exchange for some pelts, right? For some beaver fur. So how is Thanksgiving celebrated today? There are a few things that make the holiday what it is. First, it's about being around other people. So if you want to celebrate Thanksgiving, you just got to find people to celebrate with, whether it be close friends, family, or simply just acquaintances. Secondly, there's a lot of focus on food, and not any old food, very specific main dishes and side dishes. There is not much variation with the menu, at least in most families. There are a lot of people who decide to have potlucks on Thanksgiving just because preparing all of the Thanksgiving meals can take a really long time. A potluck makes it simpler because a potluck is an event where people invited bring one dish, so they contribute. It's actually funny how many unwritten rules there are about this event, especially regarding the menu. Last year was Lucas, my husband's very first Thanksgiving dinner in the U.S., and he wanted to be involved in some shape or form. And I remember him suggesting that we make steak at Thanksgiving dinner. My first reaction in my head was like, wait, no. You can't have steak on Thanksgiving dinner. We have turkey and gravy and sometimes baked ham, but not steak. So I explained to him that there is a fairly inflexible menu for Thanksgiving. And he was like, wait, but why? People like steak. They would be happy with it. And I said, yeah, well, normally it's fine to have steak. But on Thanksgiving, we eat the same thing every year. There are specific Thanksgiving dishes that we have. And we only actually have these specific types of food once a year. So he wasn't satisfied at all with my answer. And so I told him, you just wait. You're going to go to Thanksgiving dinner and you'll see what's there. My mom is going to bring cranberry sauce and sweet potatoes, which will probably have a crumbly layer of brown sugar and nuts on the top. Jody and John will probably bring mashed potatoes. Drew and Katie will provide appetizers and they'll make the turkey, which will bake in the oven for about 4 hours. They will use the juice from the turkey, also known as the drippings, not only to baste it in the oven so that it doesn't get dry, but they'll also use these drippings for gravy, which is the sauce that we will use on our turkey and on our mashed potatoes. And then I continued, then Pedro will bring the stuffing, which is his family's recipe. Sometimes stuffing is actually prepared inside of the turkey. However, Pedro's is a mixture of sliced bread, sausages, vegetables, and a lot of seasoning baked in the oven. Sometimes this can also be vegetarian, but ours is not. Then someone will be in charge of the green bean casserole and salad. And there will also be dessert. 100% there will be a pumpkin pie and a pecan pie. That's the menu, I said. The funny thing is that we went to Thanksgiving dinner and he saw exactly what I had mentioned on the table and agreed that bringing steak would have been a weird contribution. Perhaps maybe not 400 years ago, though. At the original Thanksgiving, which had a lot of fish, lobster, mussels, and a lot of things that are not common in modern day Thanksgiving celebrations. For that Thanksgiving dinner, we ended up bringing rolls, wine, and dessert, which apart from flowers are an easy thing to contribute if you happen to be invited to a potluck Thanksgiving dinner this year. My tip, just ask the host or hostess what you should bring if you're going to one. And if they say nothing, then just bring wine and flowers anyway. So what are some of the activities on Thanksgiving Day? So growing up on Thanksgiving Day, I used to go with my friend Annie every year to a soup kitchen. A soup kitchen is a place where homeless people or people in need go to have free meals. On Thanksgiving, soup kitchens are open for volunteers, and a lot of people volunteer to help. I think it's one day out of the year when a lot of people want to help, actually. So Annie and I would be there at 6 in the morning to peel potatoes and then go out to people's cars and get additional donations, which could include anything from canned cranberry to fully baked turkeys. Apart from that, on Thanksgiving Day, there is always the Thanksgiving Day Parade, which takes place in New York City. Some people watch it on TV. There are lots of floats, lots of inflatable characters making their way through the streets. So if you happen to be in New York City on that day, it might be worth checking it out. I was there 6 years ago on that day, and I looked at it for a few minutes and then went up to the top of the Empire State Building, which is probably the only day in the year when there are no lines, surprisingly. Some families play football on Thanksgiving. I'm not actually sure what the history is behind that. Maybe it was mother's idea in the past to get all of the kids and husbands out of the kitchen while the last minute preparations took place. But oftentimes, whole families play football in the streets. At a lot of Thanksgivings, football games are also watched on TV. Of course, the focus of the day, apart from being around family and eating, is to be aware of what you're thankful for. Before the feast begins, many families have a tradition of going around the table and having each person say one thing that they are thankful for. This year, I would probably say, I'm thankful for everything that my family members do for me. I'm thankful for my mom who watches my daughter a few days a week. Remember to always use the preposition for, right? I'm thankful for something. Also, remember if a verb follows a preposition, it must have an ing ending. It would be a gerund. So for example, I'm thankful for having, for is the preposition, having, ing verb, a wonderful life. I'm thankful for my premium members supporting this podcast. I'm thankful for being healthy. I'm thankful for the U.S. government approving my husband's green card. Yep. I forgot to mention that. We were just informed yesterday. And yeah, we'll be staying in the United States. So I'm thankful for that as well. All right. So after giving thanks, right, or saying what we are grateful for or thankful for, we eat. And then after eating, of course, we all go home extremely full and tired. Some people go shopping at midnight or wake up really early in the morning to go shopping because it's Black Friday. And that is a day full of crazy sales in the US. Some people wake up hungover, of course, waiting to have a nice turkey and cranberry sandwich like Ross and friends. Anyway, what are you thankful for this year? Are you going to celebrate Thanksgiving? So that's it for this episode. If you'd like to support this podcast, I'd be very grateful. You can learn more about it in the classroom at AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks and happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks and hope to see you soon.